WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present the Ivan Raiklin Report with retired Lieutenant Colonel of the Green Beret, Ivan Raiklin. Ivan served 25 years in the Department of Defense, Intel, and Special Operations communities as an enlisted officer, civilian contractor on active duty, reserves, and National Guard across 5 states. Most recently, he was an instructor at the Joint Military Intelligence Training Center, teaching the U.S. intelligence intel community and international partners about intelligence analysis, national security, and multinational operations. He is currently a constitutional attorney. And now, here is your host, Ivan Raiklin.
Hey, what's going on, America? Ivan Raiklin here with the Raiklin Report, and I have a special guest today. I normally don't do guests, but I really wanted to interview somebody that was at CPAC. Somebody approached me to do an interview, and they said, hey, would you be willing to have so-and-so on Lindell TV, of which I had the opportunity to host a couple weeks ago at CPAC in Maryland? And I said, absolutely. You know why, folks? Guess who it is? So why don't you go ahead and bring them in, Caleb, if you don't mind. So we have none other than co-founder, it sounds like, of Give, Send, Go. Definitely a friend of the show, friend of the Patriot community. And looks like I can see, there we go. It was a paused image for once. So it looks like, I mean, great minds have the same haircuts, based on what I'm seeing here. And so what's going on? I mean, thanks for reaching out. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, so tell us. I mean, the first question is usually for those that don't know what Give, Send, Go is, and I think there might be one person out there that doesn't. So what is the genesis, using obviously proper terminology? Talk us through the genesis of Give, Send, Go, and I kind of want to go into some details after that.
Sure. Yeah. So Give, Send, Go was born out of a recognition that funding and fundraising doesn't just revolve around me. And we saw the platforms that were growing 10 years ago that were all about me. And our perspective as faithful believers recognize that there's a God out there that's bigger than us and has some guidelines for how we operate our lives. So we said, wait, when we impact the world, when we want to bring change to the world, yes, there is giving that happens and the flow of money, and there's goers that are impacting the world, but it's a community around all of those things. It's givers, it's senders, it's goers. It's this whole compilation of community that happens. It's not just a me thing. And so in that perspective, we looked in the field of crowdfunding and what was happening in the marketplace with this new wave of crowdfunding platforms that were emerging. And this was back in 2014, 2015.
Right.
We looked around and we said, there isn't a real alternative that actually brings that perspective to the marketplace, that recognizes that there's a hope beyond our circumstances. You know, one of the big differences between a platform like some of the others that are all about me is they think that money is.
Please, if you don't mind not mentioning their names, because I don't like to promote companies
right.
that just don't align yes. with my core principles and core values, which are obviously, I think, our values, you and mine, as well as
right.
the listeners.
Yeah, I have no desire to. But the idea in many of those platforms was that money meets all of our needs. And for us, it was like, no, money doesn't meet all of our needs. When somebody loses a child in a tragic accident, mm-hmm. you know, money might meet the physical needs that are there in that moment, but they don't meet the immaterial needs that are very present in those
right,
moments.
Right, the spiritual and psychological impact and emotional impact that causes.
Exactly. So we said, we have a hope in our belief that actually does touch on those needs. That actually brings hope in difficult moments. And we wanted a platform that combined all of those elements. And so that's where Give, Send, Go was born. It was born out of those recognitions that there's something bigger than just the material world. And so
I got to jump in and say it's absolutely yeah. fantastic. I mean, what you've been able to build. And I do like the principle that, you know, a lot of times folks are not in a position to even donate, but it also right. helps with that psychological, the emotional, spiritual healing that needs to take place in the instances that you just described. Because a lot of times, you know, when other people are commiserating with the pain and loss, some of us have experienced similar loss. So it helps with that coping process, which is not captured at all in any of these other, money only. And like you said, me only, the financial component. So it brings multiple layers to it, which is absolutely fantastic. I mean, I'm a fan, obviously. So,
right. Well, that's why we have our pray button. Is because there's more that people can do. Sometimes you're not in a position to be able to donate some dollars at the moment, but you can offer a word of support. You can offer a prayer. You can offer some encouragement from a biblical perspective. And let me be clear: Give, Send, Go is not just for Christians. We're available in 86 countries now, or we're around the world, being used by people from all different walks and backgrounds. But from a biblical perspective, which is how we came in our background, the Bible says that there is life and death in the things that we say. And we realize that there is a lot of power in the words that we say and what we tell people. And we've had campaign owners who have raised literally hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they said, you know what? When I go home at night, as much as I can see this balance of money that's sitting there, that's available to me, that's not what gives me joy. I hop on into the prayer message box where I've got tens of thousands of messages from people that are supporting me from all over the world. That's what gets me through the ups and downs of the struggle that I'm in. It's not the fact that I've got a big pile of money that's sitting there. It's these messages. So that pray button is so powerful on our page. We're the only ones that have something like that. And then we went even beyond that. And we actually hired a prayer team. They call and pray with every campaign they get started on Give, Send, Go. Just say, hey, we see what we're doing, and we want to pray with you about it. So a lot of cool stuff.
That's fantastic, Jacob. No, I appreciate it. No, so a couple of questions that I had from a technical standpoint. So I used to be – I dabbled a little bit in angel investing, and I also – this was back in the day. And I also my last assignment in the reserves, I happened to be on the founding team to be a technology scout for the – it's an Army Reserve unit. And we looked at – I personally looked at within my portfolio, AI, mixed reality, gaming companies within the Silicon Valley ecosystem. Now, my values are obviously conservative, and so that's anathema to most of that ecosystem there, unfortunately. But the technology that is there can be used and leveraged for a positive way. So one thing I like to ask is, for the longevity of your company, what state are y'all registered in?
Right. So as a company, we registered as — we are a for-profit company out of Delaware. So we are a Delaware LLC is our corporate
structure. And the reason why I go there is, like, I always look at the political ecosystem. What's the political risk that you take, considering that you're allowing for conservative thought, engagement, interaction to take place, right? And so we want to mitigate that risk as much as possible, because, well, I would like to see your company flourish well beyond it currently, you know, its current status. And so you have some of these governors, and obviously Delaware is the residence of the current resident and what I call the CCP captured ambassador to the U.S. squatting in our White House. How do you de-risk that political thing, if you want to talk about that? And then number two is, how do you de-risk from being deplatformed? Because I think your primary payment processor is Stripe, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Yeah. So all fantastic questions. So from a political perspective, obviously, how we built out the platform and what we do, and this even touches into the payment piece, is we build redundancies in everything that we do. One of the key phrases that we've used this year is, we're going to let our actions be louder than their words, because, you know, the extreme left has gotten very vocal about our platform and mischaracterizing us according to their thought process. And as we know, they make these crazy false allegations. From just a couple of weeks ago, the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, actually writing a hit piece against Give, Send, Go, defaming us. How ironic is that? And then that being used by 20 Congress people to send a letter to Janet Yellen, the Treasury chair, to get us trying to take it off of the financial system. But back to the point, we're letting our actions be louder than their words. We engage in communities 99% of what happens on Give, Send, Go really has very little political affiliation. It's just people helping people. Somebody had a fire next door and you're raising money to help rebuild their home or bring, you know, help adopt a child. So the vast majority of what happens, but then also Give, Send, Go is involved itself in philanthropic activities, just helping people. That's what we love to do.
What I'm getting at though is, I mean, obviously you're the platform of choice for some of these political targets and political POWs that we have in the DC gulag, right. You know, things like that, right? So the entire executive, what I consider the lawless, illegitimate executive branch has been deployed against a lot of society, which shouldn't be under, you know, normal circumstances under our constitutional order. And I mean, I'll give an example. One of the financial payment, I guess, quasi-payment processors, if you will. I won't name their name, but they went out and said that they were going to fine people a couple hundred dollars if they, you know, used speech that wasn't palatable to that company's standard.
Right.
I happened to, within minutes of seeing that, my account was deleted. I deleted the account. I am no longer, I canceled them because their values are anathema, full stop, against my values and constitutional principles. So I want to make sure that we come up with ways, I'm sure you've thought about this, to continue to develop your business to avoid even any slight risk that may occur with the infrastructure that you've built out to build out your fantastic business.
Yeah, and all of that, and we definitely understand that, and we're building, all of that takes time. There is a process in technology of building and developing. We've done, our technology team, which we brought on a whole host of new technology employees over this past year, building out our back end to be in the latest technology structures that make it movable and portable to any type of server deployment anywhere in the world at any moment. So it really does puts us in this uncancelable spot from the server side of things, and then you have the payment side of things where we've built in redundancy systems into our platform so that in the event that some of our primary payment solutions wanted to make a decision that was contrary to how we thought should be, we'd have backup solutions in place to turn on at the flip of the switch. All of that is actively being worked on and developed and already been developed. What we see is, okay, there's a potential weakness in our business because we have dependencies. So how do we own our dependencies, or how do we build around our dependencies? And so we've approached all of our dependencies with that mindset. We've been very aggressive about it. Fortunately, we also recognize, this is our faith walk, just walking it out, that we have a God that says that he's a shield before us and he's a fortress for us. So when I look at the safety that we've had so far, I really think that there's an element to that he's actually provided a way for us, because we aren't these radical white supremacist haters that everybody wants to say, you know, the mainstream media wants to try to just barrage and label us as. There are.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's the way I see it is that it is our own FBI that is directing big tech to do the canceling and the censorship. So when you have an institution, right? So you have Catholics, right? In Richmond, Virginia, where Christopher Wray is going after them. You have the same Christopher Wray that basically picks up the phone, and likely, I just put out a message on the Twitter. It's likely that it was Chris Wray that contacts the San Francisco field office, which has jurisdiction over the big tech companies, and contacts Joe Pienka III, who happened to be the number two guy interviewing Mike Flynn on January 24th of 2017. He initially writes up a 302 saying that he doesn't think that General Flynn's lying, but then somebody in that process changes it. He is now protected and sent over to the San Francisco field office, and one of his employees, Elvis Chan, is the same guy in the Twitter files nonsense, which was the one sitting in trying to convince and manipulate and coerce Yoel Roth, Vijaya Gadde, James Baker is the conduit over there at Twitter to censor everything. Now, granted, I'm not talking about your company, but that is one of the big tech players of which he did the censorship via Twitter, via Facebook, via, you know, and then their progeny, as well as there's evidence of LinkedIn also being involved in that. So it's literally the federal executive branch dictating what thought can be, what letters of the alphabet and words and syllables can be conveyed on the mainstream big media platforms, of which, let's face it, in order for you to have a successful campaign, you have to get your message out. And then it's it's not within Give, Send, Go that you're going to get the message out. It has to be off platform. And the way to scale that is through one of these incumbent big tech players. Luckily, we have Truth, Getter, Gab. Are these companies that I just, the last ones that I mentioned, ones that you're maybe partnering up with? I don't want you to disclose stuff that's in the works.
Yeah, no.
That might be a good idea.
Yeah, and that's really where a lot of the strength comes from, or is moving to, is that like-minded organizations, like those organizations along with Give, Send, Go, are collaborating together to build a stronger ecosystem that's fundamental ethos is freedom. And that in that there's obviously tension around that, but that we come together and we collaborate and we.
Right. Because another company that's similar to yours that I can think of is probably Gab, right? Gab has a very similar ideological stance, right?
Right.
Yeah. And hopefully there are other ones out there. I mean, Truth, obviously, you got Locals. From a free speech platform, not from the, right?
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the free speech component, but then there's also the cultural component that probably Gab is the most closest aligned.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely do stuff on Gab. A lot of our users, there are people that come over from Gab. The big difference between Give, Send, Go and many of these others is the financial piece, which is where we have to be really discerning in many ways, because it's one thing to have just to say stuff. It's another thing to have money follow what you say to actually accomplish what you're doing. And that's where the heightened concern often comes from. And fortunately, we actually do everything necessary to validate and verify that there are no Al-Qaeda and terrorists that are using our platform to fundraise for, you know, to have another 9/11 or things like that. So we go through
Speaking
all
of which,
as
I was talking, I don't mean to interrupt, but when you said, when I mentioned the FBI, did you want to share of, did they also try to coerce your operations, and how did that engagement flow? If you care to speak about it, man, this is a friend.
I'd be happy to speak on a couple elements of that. So about a year or so ago, we got, just prior to the pullout in Afghanistan, where we ceded some $50 billion of financial assets over to terrorist organizations, we were approached by a government branch about the funding of terrorist organizations and how they use small donations and they facilitate small transactions now, and even looking at the desire for Give, Send, Go to be added into this conglomeration of the like you said, the fake books and the Twitters and all of those, the big conglomeration of these big tech companies. They said, why don't you join this consortium so that we can all do this together? And our response was, you know what? No, we're not really interested in a government-led consortium of big tech companies where you can push us to try to do various things. We're happy to follow the guidelines that are in place and work a great model off that. And we did that. And they were concerned literally about a $50 payment to a potential terrorist. And then 2 months later, they literally, the U.S. government, the very people approaching us, cede $50 billion in assets, in weapons and financial assets over to terrorists. Was like the biggest.
Thank you for pointing that out, Jacob. Absolutely. I mean, I wrote a Substack about it specifically, where my claim was, you know, the domestic terrorist organizations, you don't have to agree or disagree with this, because my rhetoric is very, you know, right on the line, but I have evidence to back it up. And I claim that, you know, domestic terrorist organizations have the moniker as FBI and DHS, right? Primarily based on their actions over the course of the last 2 years. And then I lay it out as specifically, you know, the raid on Roger Stone, the larceny of John Eastman in the parking lot, the armed robbery of Mike Lindell's phone in a Hardee's parking lot, right? There's many instances of them doing that. And so I thank you for basically, you know, politely explaining to them that, guess what, folks, you we don't trust you, so we're going to operate within the law, but we don't want you meddling any more than that. Okay, So that's kind of my translation of what you did. I appreciate you for doing that.
Right. And that was their first attempt. The second, in multiple attempts thereafter, have been through a form of lawfare where they attempt to subpoena various campaigns. And one of the things that's been unique about it is that they've gone beyond just trying to subpoena information around the campaign owner, but then saying, we also want all of the information around people that gave to those campaigns. So it's not just the person fundraising and the money received. We want to know everybody that gave. And, we drew a line in the sand with all of them saying, sorry, read the Constitution, look at the Supreme Court jurisprudence on these issues of should giver data be disclosed to the government. And it's quite clear the Supreme Court has upheld, even as late as last year, that states and governmental organizations don't have a right into subpoenaing the records of givers, you know, unaffiliated givers.
So, fantastic that you're pushing back that way. But here's the problem, right? It goes back to the previous question. So if you're the illegitimate Chinese Communist Party resident squatting in our White House right now and defiling it, and then you call over to your illegitimate single person that is the single plank holder from the previous first term of Trump, and then now in this quasi whatever resident status, I'm talking about Chris Ray. If a campaign is very successful and it's literally the campaign is focused on exposing that lawless behavior of the very same institution that is trying to get the information from you, what do we have? And I'm referring to my campaign that I have on Give, Send, Go, which is simply and singly focused on providing support to those me and others in order to be able to investigate the very FBI that is being corrupt based on their actions. We're basically trying to clean them up.
Right.
I'm known as the deep state marauder, and I try to identify government corruption at the very top by name, date, time, place, location, transgression. And I'm doing a pretty good job, if I may say so myself.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, I don't think, you know, maybe people can complain against uncovering corruption, but I think that most people can get behind. If there's corruption, we should be unveiling it, and we should really be promoting people from all different ideological walks, from the left, from the right, to be going after, because there are corrupt players everywhere.
Here's the problem is that I only cover things where the FBI should be doing it. It's basically within their mission to do the counterintelligence mission on behalf of the United States. But when the very national security threat and issues arise from that organization that's supposed to do it, but from within, there is no mechanism in our constitutional order to do a body check on that. So in the absence of that, if you know my background, 25 years in the national security apparatus, I kind of know the system pretty decently, much more than the common person. So now I become a threat to the very institution that is trying to lawfare itself against organizations like yours to be able to stop it from happening. I mean, that's kind of similar to why they did the raid in Mar-a-Lago, is to seize the evidence that was likely going to be used in Trump's RICO case against the very DOJ and FBI, and likely was going to be also used in the lawsuit that was just recently filed by General Flynn. And what are in those two lawsuits? It's essentially proving that the very FBI, by name, date, time, place, and location, was there to illegally spy first and foremost, and then all the cover-up since then. So in the absence of an entity to do that, I have to step in the breach, and hopefully my Give, Send, Go will be successful without it being shut down. And it's just my last name, givesendgo.com/Raiklin.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I completely understand. I know that as a company and as a mission and who we are and what we stand for and how we're going to continue to develop and fight in this space, even going deep as far as building our own banking infrastructure foundationally, even outside the auspice of the U.S. government itself, there's international banking entities that we've been looking at either developing or building ourselves that kind of extend a little bit farther, but it's really
did
all
you see that Kristi Noem vetoed that bill did you hear that a couple days ago? Governor of South Dakota vetoed a bill where they tried to basically move the sovereign. I don't know the details of it, but it looks like they're trying to nationalize, if you will, in the United States, all the crypto currencies so that it falls within the governmental auspices. So it's going to become more challenging as governments throughout the world try to take control and keep an eye on and monitor every single transaction.
Right. Yeah, no, we understand. We've partnered with some great organizations to really put our heads around what this looks like in the days, weeks, months to come, and how we can be better situated to help facilitate good people that are trying to do good in the world by exposing corruption, by really taking a hard look at the governments that are supposed to be for us that have now turned in many ways against us, not governments for the people, by the people, like it once was set up to be, but now governments that are just about power and absolutism within themselves. And how do we create an infrastructure that allows for the transfer of goods and services beyond that reach and protection, not for nefarious purposes, maybe nefarious to them per se, but really for the promotion of the well-being of people, because individualism is fundamental to our culture and as individuals being able to transfer and buy and sell and integrate with our neighbors is fundamentally important. And the government is trying to reach into every aspect of that in our lives. And we need to restore some of that. And that's what we're trying to do. And we're excited about the journey that we're on.
Okay, so with about 1 minute left before we have to wrap up, tell us, what is the most successful campaign you have had on the platform? What is the flow, if you will, market share wise compared to some of the other incumbents? And then the last one, I know it's a lot, the kind of like the main category, I would say the J6 stuff. How much of it as a percentage is the J6 stuff on the platform? I know it's a lot. 36.
Yeah. So first, biggest campaign, it was all over the news a year ago, is the Canadian truckers, 13 million Canadian dollars, which is about close to 10 million US dollars. So that was the biggest campaign just in a short duration of time. The next one's category, the most popular category on GiveSendGo is medical bills. Somebody's coming to a medical disaster. Okay. So that's by far the most popular category. January 6th, excited to, you know, we're thankful and happy to be a place where people have the right to due process and raise funds. As a percentage, it is pretty minimal. Now, it's been substantial as far as the amount of money that they've raised, I think like $5 million for January 6th defendants. But we're talking about, maybe a couple percentages of what GiveSendGo does annually. So it's just small.
Excellent. So where do you, with the time at 4:30 here, we have to wrap things up. You're welcome anytime in the future. And definitely, I want to continue to promote your business, Jacob, the GiveSendGo.com. I know most of us know about it, but for the one person that's never heard of it, check it out. It is the alternative platform, pretty soon going to be mainstream. That's going to take over all the other crowdfunding platforms because of the values that they espouse, and free speech, as well as the cultural Christian-based values that I think most people align themselves with, that are rational and critical thinkers. So thank you for that. Appreciate you. With that, the Raiklin Report concludes. I'll see y'all tomorrow.